says, I've been just roaming the earth. And God himself, it wasn't the devil, it was God himself. He says, since you are a busybody and you have nothing to do, have you considered my servant Job? Are you following the story so far? Now it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? Next. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for nothing? Next verse. Have you not made a hedge around him and around his house and around every side of him? Now the question is this. He has blessed his hands and the substance of his increase. The devil is telling God, does he fear you for nothing? Number one. Number two, have you not provided a hedge around him, around his house, around everything that concerns him? How does the devil know that God has put a hedge around you? The only way the devil knows is that he has tried. He tried him on the east side and found a hedge there. Tried him on the north side. Are you following? Has tried him on every dimension and found out, no, this guy, there's something protecting him. So when God is boasting that I have a son called Job, he loves me and he fears me, all the devil says is that this report you are giving concerning Job is a debatable report because you have protected him and hedged him. You have given him things. How do we know that the love that you say he has for you is truly a love out of faith and not just because of the things you have given to him? There is a report that is debatable, but there are good reports by faith that cannot be contested. Am I talking to somebody at all? So he's challenging God. He's having a debate with God. You see, if God speaks, who are you to contend? So once has he spoken, twice have we heard that all power belongs to him. So if God speaks and says, my servant Job loves me, like under normal circumstances, what room should there be for argument? But the devil is saying, I don't think that he loves you truly. It is as a consequence of things. Then God said, okay, let's put him to the test. Remove this. I'm removing the hedge. Now you can do with him as you please, but don't kill him. There begins the process for Job to obtain a good report. Where indeed, after the testimony is given, after the testimonial is released, after the report is written, no man, no spirit, no demon, nobody can rise and contest anymore the report that he has. When you talk about a report, all of us have been to school. I don't know how they do it these days. But when we were in school, they used to write it. You remember those days? They give you a report card. Terminal report, they will write. Your teacher will write things. Your father will see it. Your father will be afraid. Is this my son they are talking about? They will write English, very good. Maths, excellent. Because your parents are not with you in the classroom, when they pick the report, it's supposed to give them a snapshot or a complete and total summation of your whole life in that class in that year. A report captures what you have been up to, who you are now, what progress you have made, and whether you qualify for the next level. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody at all. So at the end of class one, they give you a report. They look at you and say, because of this report, you qualify for class two. It's not because you are growing in age. Nobody deserves to go to class two because they have grown. Have you not heard of repetition before? If your report determines that you don't qualify for a promotion, they will repeat you. Your CV is like a report. That's how come many of us lie on our CVs. I can work under pressure. I have done many things in my life. I am a leader. I am computer literate. They say, come and do Excel. You are shaking. But the reason we produce that is that that is the report of that captures everything we have done, everything we know, and our abilities as far as the next level is concerned. So that if there is a job vacancy somewhere, somebody looks at the job, looks at our CV or our report, they can look at us and say, we deserve that position. In the same vein, in the realm of the spirit, there are promotions that come to people, only those who have a good report. Somebody shout a good report. The Bible says, and for by it, the elders obtain a good report. Who are these elders? Let's start. Who are these elders? Hebrews 11, we are still on it. Start from 4. Come Can we read it together, please? Ready, go. By faith, Okay. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaks. It says Abel had faith. Abel's offering he gave to God was actually given to God through faith. My question for you is this: what happened to Abel? The man Abel died. He was killed by his brother. Not because he didn't believe in God. Not because he didn't trust God. Not because he didn't have faith in God. In fact, the death was a direct consequence of the demonstration of faith that he had in God. And after that, he had given to God in faith. What he received was death. Yet, when they are listing the elders who have a good report, the first name they list is the man that died in faith. Somebody say a good report. I told you, it is one thing to have things. It's another thing to have a good report. The other day, Paul is speaking, and he's listing the things he's been through. And so when he gets to the book of Galatians, he says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Christ. He's saying, I have a report to show my apostolic calling. I have a good report to show that God's hand is upon me. I have a good report to show that I have faith in God, not because of the miracles I've performed, not because of the signs and wonders that have followed me, but because I have in my body the marks of Christ. He said, I was lashed many times. He said, I was at perils at the sea many times. He said, imprisonment, I can't even count them. And these are the things he's listing as part of his report to indicate that he has a good report as far as God is concerned. There is a difference between things and a good report. You see, if all you have in your walk with God is things, the enemy can go just like he went in the days of Job to contest this and say, you know, God, this lady you are talking about, you say she loves you. Is it not just because after JSS she didn't struggle? She didn't need scholarship. Somebody just paid. They paid her fee. She went to secondary school. She has never struggled a day in her life. And then she went to university. Everything is beautiful. And then after that, she did national service. Somebody even connected her. After that, she's working. Everything is so nice. And are you sure she truly loves you? When you are naming the things on your good report in the spirit, you remember when somebody you love died and you are still standing in the faith. You remember when you lost something dear and you are still standing in the faith. You remember how things didn't work out like the way you wanted, and yet your faith in the Lord was not moved because it was not founded on things. It was founded simply on who he is. So as long as your faith is concerned, the travails that you go through do not shake you, do not move you, and that is what constitutes a good report. The man Abel, the first elder that is listed in the book of Hebrews, he died though. He died. He didn't build. Look, in fact, Do you realize that Cain, who killed him, even had a legacy? Abel, who was killed, who loved God and had faith, had no legacy. Because there was nobody who came after him. In fact, he was replaced because Adam had another son who came to replace him. And yet, the Bible says, God himself testified of his gifts. God himself is the one who wrote the report card for Abel. If you were there at the time and you were looking at them, you say, Abel, if truly God loves you, why are you dead? Abel, if truly God is with you, why are you not alive to perpetuate your legacy? Abel, if God truly loves you, why are you going through death and all these kinds of things? And you see, there are times in our lives that people come and they ask us questions. If God is truly with you, why don't you have a child yet? If God is truly with you and you are in church and you are doing this, why don't you have a job yet? Why are you not married yet? You have to look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, you see, you are talking about things, but I know what the Lord is doing with me now. He's building a good report in my life so that my faith is not founded on the thing that he gives me. Can I get a yes in this place? When your faith is founded on things, the moment things leave you, you are done. When your faith is founded on a good report, when things come, they are just additions. They don't move you. See, when a man has truly gone through stuff and has a good report as far as God is concerned, if the man even gets $1 million, they are no, it doesn't move them. It doesn't control them. Whilst everybody is happy for them, they know that this is the least of the things that God is able to do with them and for them. But a man who is just interested in things, the moment they get $1,000, ash, they will announce it for the whole world to know, because the foundation of their faith is just one thing. Abel, God wrote his report card, yet Abel is dead. Next verse. It says, for by it, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, it's nice when you're reading Abel's Enoch's story now. Bible says he was translated. He was captured. Do you think the people at that time knew that he was translated? They just woke up. I can see the billboards. Missing person. His name is Enoch. We don't know where he is. Contact so and so. A man pleased God, and God just come to capture him, takes him away. He doesn't get to do anything in this dimension. God has just taken. Imagine your father is not too old and God just comes to pick him. How does everybody around you picture this? How does, imagine the pain and the consternation that is around, the anguish and the questions people begin to ask. Yet from the perspective of God, I have picked him because he pleases me and he has faith. And because of that, let me just translate him now. But people in the earth realm will not see it like that. And so they will associate it with everything evil. But Enoch had a good report. He had a good report. Next verse. Another elder. Okay, so 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must know or believe that he is, number one, and number two, he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Next verse. And it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, being moved with fear, the correct Greek rendition is a reverent fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Put yourself in Noah's shoe. You are living, like, so for example, imagine you are Noah. Can you imagine for a second you are Noah? See how beautiful we all are, different faces, different friends, and all that. And then God appears to you one day. God says, sir, I'm about to do something. And as a consequence of that, I'm wiping away everybody. All your friends, all your neighbors, all your cousins. If your grandfather, if he's alive. Everybody, I'm just leaving you, your wife, and your children. So the man goes to bed one day. He's in an ark. The next time the ark is opened, everybody he knows is no more. The world in the state in which he knew it before has drastically changed. And God is writing a report about Noah. He says, this guy has a good report. Imagine how tough it's going to be at his age to start life and try to repopulate the whole earth again from scratch. Some of these stories, when you read, take your time and analyze them properly. But he believed God so much that even if it costs me the entire world, I'll stick with you and do what you're asking me to do. Even if it costs me friends and neighbors and everybody else, I'll still stick with you and do what you're asking me to do. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Next verse. Then it comes to Abraham. Then it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he did not know, so as to receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was even going. For by faith. So by Abraham received his promise. It's not true. Now, if I tell you that door upstairs has gold in it, if you are able to open that door, all the gold is yours. That's the promise I'm making to you. But before you can open that door, you need a key. This is the key. I'll give the key to you. That is the main promise. The key is just what you need to access and to facilitate the release of the main promise. Are you with me so far? So if I give you the key, and you are excited by receiving the key, and your story ends at where you receive the key, have you really received a promise? God's promise to him, through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. I'm about to give you a land. Your descendants will be like the stars in the sky, the suns on the earth, all these. Nice promises, God told. And it takes him 25 years from the day God gives him the compendium of promises to actually have a son. You know, he died without actually receiving the promise. And yet God says, a good report. Verse 13. So I can explain what I'm talking about. So the coming of Isaac is the first key that extends his inheritance or his legacy so that all the generation that will come through his lineage will be called blessed. After Isaac comes, he doesn't live long to see what happens after that. So by the time he is dying, truly, it is the faith he has in God alone that sustains his passing. But his eyes never see the promise that God has given to him. In fact, when God says, through you, the nations of the earth shall be blessed and all that, he's actually talking about his seed, which is Jesus. That through Jesus, everybody that connects to him, although we may not be genetically connected to Abraham, but spiritually through Jesus, we all become connectors of the blessings that flow through him. Are you with me so far? But he never gets to see you give your life to Jesus. And so he never gets to see the manifestation of that promise. He never gets to see the manifestation of that promise that God is giving to him all the way in Genesis 17 there about. So verse 13 says, these all died. How did they die? I can't hear you. How did they die? Come on, shout it. How did they die? One more time. How did they die? I want it to sink in. These all died in faith. But what happened? Not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. So it's possible to have faith, die in faith, and still not receive. Because of something called a good report. Because of the spiritual testimony that must be written about you. Do you know there are people, if they go through half of what you go through, they won't survive. If they were to experience a quarter of all that you have experienced and you are still here, they will not be here. So the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, it says in Romans 1:17, it says in Galatians 3:11, it says in Hebrews 10, 38, all these places, it says, the just shall live by faith. All these places. It says one thing, if you are just, if you have received salvation in God, if you are God's person, you can't live by sight, you can't live by emotions, you can't live by economy, you can't live by the words of men. It says, the just shall live by faith. It's interesting how Paul is using his scars and says, look at me. It is my scars that prove that I'm an apostle. In our generation, it is the size of the car that proves that he's called. I feel like I'm talking to somebody right now. Can I talk to you at all? In our generation, it is the suit, see, the three-piece suit that endorses or validates a man's calling. But in the days of the apostles, none of these things mattered. In fact, we are never told how Paul ever dresses into a meeting. But we are told of the battles he faces. We are told of the scars he carries. And he declares them. This is the evidence that I am an apostle called of God. If a man has faith, and this faith is in the dimension of a good report, listen to me. Look, when a man is walking in the dimension of having a good report, there are things that just come to the person. The things you are looking for just come when you have a good report before God. Because just like a man is promoted in physically with the report, in the realm of the spirit, when your report is captured, they realize that this person deserves it. And the Bible says concerning Job, after everything is said and done, God looks at him and says, we need to do a double for this person. Because now, we can't say with our mouth only that he is righteous and he is... No, now there is a report to prove. Do you know something interesting happened in the life of Job? The Bible says, after the Lord restored him, his brothers and sisters came to talk to him and to dine with him. It doesn't stop there. It says, and they came to give him money. So, brothers and sisters were already there. Number two, brothers and sisters had money to give him. And they were yet nowhere to be found. Till after the report had been released in the spirit, the Lord had restored him. Now, the people who were nowhere to be found in the process were coming. And although he didn't even need the money anymore, they were ready to give him money at that time. Somebody lift up your right hand and say, a good report. What kind of report will be written about you in the spirit realm? What kind? What kind of report? What kind of report? Look at this now. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. For by it the elders obtained. And he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy. What word is that? I can't hear you. What word is that? Faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He's saying that the devil wants to sift you. The process of sifting wheat, just like you have on the screen, they have the sieve, they have the wheat in the sieve, and they use winds to separate the proper wheat from the chaff. When you go to places like where I grew up around Mount Probi and those Jamestown areas, when they have maize and things like that, they know how to throw it up. Have you seen what I'm talking about before? They just throw it up, the winds blow, and the chaff is separated from. You know why? Faith is that thing. That's why Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says, the enemy wants to sift you, but I pray that your faith shall not fail. In other words, what Jesus is speaking to Peter about as the thing that will give him weight so that the winds don't blow him is faith. Am I making sense? So that when he's sifted like that, if he carries enough weight, it will give him enough faith, it will give him weight and stamina so that whilst the chaff is blown away by the storms of life, by the issues of life, by the pressings and the circumstances and the situations and the discomforts of life, he will just come back down because faith has given him weight in the spirit. Faith has so much glory that it gives a man weight. When things are going bad and the winds are blowing and it is separating the chaff, if you are blown away by the winds, we know that you don't carry the weight that is necessary for stamina. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Final scripture I want to deal with. Proverbs 24, 10. It says, if you can read it together, please. Ready, go. If you faint in the day of adversity, in other words, when you are being sifted and the winds are blowing, if you are carried away by the winds, then your strength is small. Beloved, it's not talking about strength that is muscular. It's not talking about strength in terms of how much pounds you can bench press. It's not talking about strength as a physical capacity. No, it's talking about the level of faith you have that gives you weight to help you to stand in the day of adversity. The dimension of faith that produces a good report. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And if the elders did obtain it by a good report by it, listen, in our generation, we will also be issued a report insofar as our faith is concerned. If you understand this, no matter what you go through, you are still standing. No matter what you go through, you are still here. People may be carried away by the winds, but you are still here. I don't know if I'm talking to four people in this place. The winds may be blowing, but you are still here. You know, economic winds can blow, but you will still be here because you carry weight in the spirit. A man, somebody says, I love God, till they begin to become hungry. Says, I love God. I have faith in him. Till they look for a job for 10 years and they don't find it. I'm talking to the wrong congregation here now. I love God till they are married for 16 years and they don't have a child. I love God till they have been pastoring for 20 years and they have 10 members. And I know, this thing is not working. Let me just go and find some business and do. We know clearly then your strength is small. Your strength. How do you build strength physically? Physically, how do you build? If you want to build strength, ask my son, Freddie. You need to put pressure on your muscle. Is that true? And gradually be increasing the weight that you are able to carry. So I can carry 20 kg today. Once I do it over and over again, it becomes light because my muscles have learned to deal with this weight. So in order for it to grow in strength, I need to increase the pressure I am applying to it. So that now I'll move from 20 and go to 30. And then over time, that becomes also something that is not too challenging. And then I move on again. So the way you grow your strength physically is to necessarily apply pressure to the muscles that carry strength. I'm going somewhere with this. In the same way, in the spirit, if we are to check a man's strength and to grow a person's strength, the person must face situations and circumstances that test the strength they have built. Are you with me so far? So if everything is cool, don't think you have strength. The day adversity comes is the day we truly know whether you are strong or not. The day things are hard is where we will truly know whether you have built capacity. And so the more strength you build, the more you realize that what used to be a challenge in the past is no more challenging because you have outgrown the circumstances in the past. So now what comes to you is bigger than what you have ever dealt with before. So somebody used to pray, Father, somebody's challenge. Father, I want to pass in mathematics. That used to be the person's challenge. Let me pass math. God, I will serve you forever if you will let me pass math. Then they pass mathematics and they move on. Maybe after failing it twice. And they build capacity, they move on from there. And then now they are in the university. Oh, God, you lower. Let me take the lower like that. Lower, lower. I'll manage it. But before then, years ago, they were crying for mathematics pass. Now they have outgrown that. Then before then, give me a job. And for 5 years, they have been praying that prayer. And their job, they'll be shortlisted. They won't give them. Then finally, they are given the job and they outgrow, they build strength over time to deal with that issue. And then, now, Father, give me a husband. By the time they are asking for a husband and blaming God and accusing God, they have forgotten that one day they were praying for mathematics to pass mathematics. Do I have a witness in this place? They have forgotten. And then after 4 years, when they finally get a husband, and they go, thank you, hey, I love you for the rest of my life. 5 years into the marriage, there's no child. They say, God, why are you doing this to me? But 4 years ago, you are the one crying and praying, do this. Oh, I feel like I'm talking to somebody this morning. Because to build strength, you need to go through situations and circumstances. And so sometimes there's somebody in your life who is sick. You are praying, Father, save my father. Do you know what happens? Then your father will die. Why would you do this to me? God, why me? Why me? What have I done against you? But every time you are praying for your father, you are giving God an opportunity to strengthen your discipline as far as prayer is concerned. So that now you have learned through adversity how to pray for yourself and how to look for God. So that by the time the Lord lifts you to a certain position, that school you attended in the spirit that taught you to pray, you can now pray for yourself sitting in that office, not relying on any prophet anywhere. But because temporarily what you were looking for you did not get, you have written everything off because your strength is small. If God truly gives you everything you desire, do you truly love him because of who he is or because of things? If he answers all your questions, the Bible says he can do exceedingly above all that we think or even ask. In other words, there is the limitation is in relation to what you are thinking. If you can think this, he can do above your thoughts. So if you think one, he can do five. If you think five, he can do 10. So whatever you can think, he can do it. The question is, if you can do what I think, why haven't you done what I'm asking? Because sometimes faith must produce a good report. When they mention your name, Yamansa in heaven, near Chimo report card, see. So at this one, look at the left arm, there's a scar there. Look at the chest, there's a scar there. He has in her body the scars and the marks of Christ. Let no man trouble this one. Move her to the next dimension. Why? Because he has a good report that proves the faith that he has in. It's easy to say we love God and we have faith when all we have is things. Faith is the substance of things. So if you have things, it's one dimension, it's good. But that dimension of things does not take you far in your walk with God. In fact, there are days, there are times, God necessarily, look, do you know how they produce olive oil? By applying pressure to the olive. If you are caressing the olive and holding it and love it, you'll never get oil out of it. Is that true? So they need to press it in order for it to produce the substance we are looking for. And God sometimes knows there's something inside of you. There's something that needs to come out. There's a report that needs to be produced. And so pressure is applied to you for the report to come out, for the true strength that you carry to come out, in order that all will see. So that when the sons of heaven, sons meet in heaven, the enemy doesn't go and say, but Pastor Michael, everything is fine with him. That's why he's loving you. Look at someone say a good report. My question is, this morning is, what is your report in heaven now? What is your report? What report card has been produced? Oh, woman, are singing. Oh, wumo and quemo. For by it the elders obtained a good report. People are dying, they still say I love God. Hey, people are in prison. They are saying, just denounce God and let's release you. If I denounce and release, what is my evidence? What's the evidence of my faith? I need an evidence. I need a good report. You can incarcerate me all you want. Whether I die or not. Is it not therefore not surprising that the apostles of old, some of them, they will fry them, they will crucify them upside down, and all of that, God is just watching in heaven. They are looking at Stephen, a man, the Bible itself says, that is a man after God's heart, a man that loves the Lord genuinely, a man that preaches and stands for the kingdom, and he's speaking, and here are the people of Israel, they are just stoning him, and they are just stoning him. A stone will hit his head, and a stone will hit his chest, and a stone is hitting his body. He's feeling the pain physically. The Bible says, the heavens are open. A son of God is standing at the right hand of God. He has all power in his hands. He has the ability to do all things. For there is nothing that was made without him. And yet he's looking quietly at him whilst they are stoning him and he's dying. Because a good report has to be produced out of the life of this one. So though his death looks like a tragedy, in heaven there is a celebration. One of our own is coming. A good report.